I have been very fortunate in the places where I have lived, here in Pennsylvania, in North Georgia, in North Alabama, where there are hills and mountains and valleys and green forests and lovely farmlands, rivers, creeks, just beautiful, beautiful places that I have lived. And I am so grateful for that. And it is something that always reminded me of the 8th verse of Psalm 26, which is, Lord, I love the beauty of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Now, I was mentioning this to my friend Frank Dudrow in Birmingham, Alabama, and he said, yes, the place where his glory dwells, which is in you and in me and in everybody. And it was kind of an epiphany for me. Similar to that, at last year's General Assembly, not this year's, last year's General Assembly, Dr. Glenn Thomas Rideout was the GA Chorus Director. And he's a fabulous young man, many, many talents. And he would start every rehearsal with some kind of a spiritual thought. And the one day he said, and I draw your attention to what's on the screen, the portion of the Sistine Chapel that was painted by Michelangelo. And he said, you know, you look at that, and there's this old man with flowing beard, long white hair, and he's reaching out his finger. And there's this very robust, fabulous physical specimen of a person similarly reaching up. And he said, the old man is not God. The young man is not God. God is in the gap between their fingers. Another epiphany. It is, we experience the divine in our relationships with one another. Now, when I speak of God, I'm not speaking of some mythical, magical being in the sky like him, but rather the spiritual transcendence we humans experience on occasion. And we generally experience those things in our relationships with one another. The 19th century Hindu philosopher Ramakrishna said, let this body which is here be put at the service of others. The highest truth is this: God is present in all beings. They are his multiple forms. There is no other God who serves all to seek. He alone serves God who serves all other beings. Now, the late 18th century, early 19th century English poet William Blake stated this concept more poetically, but no less succinctly, that's easy for me to say, in his poem, The Divine Image. To mercy, pity, peace, and love all pray in their distress, and to those virtues of delight return their thankfulness. For mercy, pity, peace, and love is God, our Father dear. And mercy, pity, peace, and love is man, his child and care. For mercy has a human heart, pity a human face, and love the human form divine, and peace the human dress. Then every man of every clime that prays in his distress prays to the human form divine, mercy, pity, peace, and love. And all must love the human form in heathen, Turk, or Jew, where mercy, love, and pity dwell, there God is dwelling too. God is in the gap in how we relate to one another. Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 30. I'm going to be quoting scriptural chapter and verse to kind of make me sound like a real preacher, even though I'm not. Then the king will say to those at his right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will say to him, "O Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or that you were naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in the prison and come to you?" The king will then answer, saying to them, "Truly, I tell you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me." God the divine is manifested by the human activity of our connections with each other. In John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this a better place if you can. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to people you have been uncomfortable with. Above all, reach out to the poor, the widows and orphans, the disenfranchised, the imprisoned, and those who have been released from prison, to those who practice a different faith, to those who disagree with you, and to those who are in emotional pain. Now, there are many opportunities to do so right here at USG through the many programs we offer, and aren't we fortunate? And just as important to reaching out is the way that we do so in our attitude towards others. The Taoist philosopher Lao Tse wrote in the 7th century BCE. This is 700 years before Jesus, 2,700 years before Gandhi and Martin Luther King. "If you do not quarrel, no one on earth will be able to quarrel with you. Recompense injury with kindness. To those who are good, I am good. And to those who are not good, I am also good. Thus, all get to be good. To those who are sincere, I am sincere. To those who are not sincere, I am also sincere. Thus, all get to be sincere. The softest thing in the world dashes against and overcomes the hardest. There is nothing in the water softer or weaker than the water. And yet for attacking things that are firm and strong, there is nothing that can take precedence of it." Now, I'm going to say something that a lot of you are going to find very uncomfortable right now. We must remember these words as we experience our reactions to the present political climate and to all those who disagree with us. That has to be part of who we are. So we approach the gap without smugness about our goodness, but with true humility. We have seen this in our congregation. People like David Weaver, who worked with terminally ill people, but always had a smile on his face and a kind word in his mouth. And our beloved Kathy Sheeter Bonanno, who approached the world with great humor and compassion, even through her travails and health challenges. A good example of reaching out to make the divine gap occurred during the recent highly contentious presidential election. This is excerpted and paraphrased from an article that originally appeared in the Washington Post. At a Trump rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina, John McGraw, a 79-year-old white retiree and part-time maker of leather belts, wristbands, and gun holsters, was sitting in the venue disturbed that people were shouting obscenities and booing a man running for president. When Rakeem Jones, a 27-year-old African-American pizza deliverer, was walking into the arena shouting protests, McGraw got up from his seat and elbowed Jones in the face. Perhaps you saw this on TV, the internet, or on Facebook. It was all over the media. McGraw was arrested. Nine months later, McGraw was in court in a court hearing facing two misdemeanor charges of assault and battery and disorderly conduct. He pleaded no contest, and the judge asked Jones if he wished to be heard. Jones thought for a minute and said, "From the beginning, it even took place in front of the sheriffs. The way it was handled wasn't right." "He was allowed to go home," he said. "I know he's not going to receive jail time, but at the same time, I have a friend who is facing 5 years for what was, at the root of it, a fight. I just don't understand that." The judge asked McGraw's attorney whether he had anything to say. "It needs to be stated by my client through me that Mr. McGraw's actions were not racially motivated," the lawyer said. Jones listened and asked whether he could say more. "Not one time in 9 months have I mentioned race," he said. "I got hit by a man, period." The judge asked McGraw whether he wanted to say something too. "I'm extremely sorry this happened," McGraw said. And when the judge told him to explain it to Jones, not him, he turned to Jones and took a step toward him. It was the closest they'd seen each other since the rally. This was between two men. "You know what you did, and I know what I did. I'm not going to say you were wrong or I was wrong," McGraw said. He stepped closer to Jones and raised a finger. The finger. "We got caught up in a political mess today," he said. His jaw began to tremble. "And you and me, we got to heal our country." "All right, man," Jones said after a moment. He reached out to pat McGraw on the shoulder, and he seemed surprised by the contact. He put out a hand, Jones grasped it, and as a few claps in the audience grew into applause, the two men embraced. The sentence McGraw received was 1 year's probation. And after the judge was done and the case was over, McGraw had one more thing to say to Jones. "We've got to stick together," he quietly told Jones. "We can't let them come between us. Reach out and touch. Mind the gap. Make the gap. Don't let them come between the gap."